The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we welcome you to another day. Thanks for being a part of the program. We hope today is a little bit calmer. It was just 24 hours ago. We began this program live in Knoxville with an epic press conference. We spent most of the day reacting, and we are still reacting as the college football world trying to wrap their arms around the firing of Jeremy Pruitt. Late last night, the attorney for Pruitt spoke, and we heard from at least heard a statement from Pruitt for the first time, saying this afternoon Coach Pruitt learned that Tennessee was terminating his employment for cause. He's extremely disappointed with this decision, the public announcement of which was made prior to any substantive opportunity to respond before the appropriate decision makers. He goes on to say, we believe the decision to be the culmination of an orchestrated effort to renege on contractual promises made to Coach Pruitt upon his hiring in 2017 and reiterated less than 5 months ago. Wow. So Jeremy Pruitt has spoken, and what he has said is interesting because that is a side of the story we really don't know very much about. Meanwhile, LSU, a year and a week after the national championship, putting out want ads for a DC. Honk, if you want to be the LSU defensive coordinator, Ryan Nielsen was set to go. He's staying with the Saints. Remember a couple of days ago, another coach was set to go. He went to Notre Dame. No, I don't want the job. How about Asia Wilson, one of the all-time greats in the SEC, back in Columbia, introduced to a statue of Asia Wilson. Here's what she had to say.
Definitely an honor. I even mentioned in my speech where my grandmother couldn't even walk on this campus. She couldn't even get to where she needed to go at a quicker route. She had to walk around, and if she was here today to see her whole granddaughter has a statue where she once could not walk, it goes to show how, you know, you just plant seeds, and that's what it's all about. And that's something that we stood by last year in the bubble. Angel McCartrey actually brought that to light to me is, you know, change doesn't happen overnight, but you want to be a part of something that plants seeds, so later on down the road, little black girls can come back and look at that statue and say, wow, like she was her, but at the same time, she was in her community as well. And I think that's the beauty of it all, and I'm taking it all with grace, hopefully. And just, you know, it's just truly a blessing, and for it to fall on MLK Day is just something that's truly special to me.
An extraordinary story, and we will talk to her coach a little bit later in the program. Dawn Staley joining us in the final hour. Other guests include a stop in Knoxville. Where else? David Ubbin. And as Congress changes hands tomorrow, well, actually, it's split, but it will tend to lean toward the Democrats with the vice president as the president of the Senate. Philip Stutz joining us on what that means to the NIL. Pat Forty, an excoriating column last night on Philip Fulmer and the mess at Tennessee. And, of course, Dawn Staley joining us a little bit later on. First, your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And Chris begins the coverage in South Carolina. Hello, Chris.
Hey, Paul. How you doing today?
We are doing great. Thank you for the call.
Yeah, the reason why I'm calling about old Jeremy Pruitt. I was just wondering, what kind of violations? I know they said it might be 11-1 and 11-2, and I know we all know exactly. But could you tell me some things that could fall under that?
Well, yeah, it's a big pool of possibilities, Chris. We're talking about illegal benefits, illegal contact. I think your basic garden variety recruiting rules. I talked to some friends in Knoxville today, and it seems like there are a large number of them, and the chancellor said as much yesterday. I think there is some disputing the severity of them now. Maybe because I swim in these waters all the time, what I heard that he is being accused of does not meet a high standard, but the volume of them is, I think, the issue, and the fact that there is some cooperation. It would have taken a lot of allegations to get rid of 9 people on a staff, including secondary personnel.
And that comes to my second question. Why would somebody inside the program blow the whistle like that, knowing that it's going to hurt?
Well, let's just say, for the sake of argument, that I was the head coach at Tennessee, and you were in compliance, you were in some other part of the organization, and I treated you badly. Would you be upset?
Yes.
And when I say treat badly, I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about treating, and I think herein lies the problem for Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt did not listen to people when they tried to counsel him that you have to get along. I mean, when you work for Nick Saban, sometimes you see the way Saban treats the staff, and he treats them harshly to get them motivated and to get them to do the job. But that's not how you treat everyone. And I'm not throwing Nick Saban under the bus. That's how dictator head coaches work. And in Pruitt's case, I think he failed to realize that he needs to get along with people. And I don't think he ever did a very good job of that. I think Pruitt was a bull in the china shop. He was bullheaded. He was short-tempered. And I think he triggered some very negative reaction. And I think we have you have to commit transgressions before you can be accused of them. But let me tell you something, Chris. If we put a camera on every college football program in the country, there's no telling what we would see.
That's true. But thank you, Paul. I appreciate you answering my question.
The most important thing in a program is to make sure everybody is on the same page. And clearly that was not the case at Tennessee. And I think we saw the first signal of that early on when Jeremy Pruitt fired a coach in the middle of a game. Let's go to Curtis in Tennessee. Hey, Curtis, you're on the air.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing today?
Curtis, we are doing great.
Paul, I'd love to ask you this yesterday. Why was Pruitt them allowed to go to California on a chartered jet, from my understanding, if this was going to happen?
Well, I mean, that's part of recruiting, though, if I understand correctly.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't get that part. If they were going to fire him, why they let him go out to California to talk to the linebacker, Tutu or whatever, however you pronounce it.
But Curtis, the thing, let me make it something very clear here, and I appreciate your call. Everything you're hearing right now are allegations. And, if you listen to the press conference yesterday, it sounded like Jeremy Pruitt has already been accused, tried, and convicted. He has not. He has not been accused of the NCAA of anything yet. All we've seen is the university turning themselves in, essentially, as a result of someone coming out and making these allegations. And I'm willing to bet this someone was a disgruntled person. I tried to explain a minute ago why people become disgruntled. It happens all the time. I was an investigative reporter in my former life, and that's where you look. You look to find someone within that program who has been wronged to spill the beans. It's not easy to do. It's not easy to get someone inside a program like that, but it just shows you how dysfunctional that program was, that apparently the NCAA and the university are this far along. It can take a long time in most cases, not in this case. Let's go to Cameron next. Hey, Cameron.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, SAVE. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Cameron, you there?
Yeah.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, so I was just, well, by the way, how are you doing today?
But we're doing great. Thank you.
I was just calling to see, you know, now that Kevin Steele is the interim head coach at Tennessee, what are the odds that Gus Malzahn comes and becomes head coach? Because, you know, he's not the most professional coach, but he knows how to win.
Yeah, listen, I don't think Malzahn is on their radar screen right now. Tennessee is a unique place. I think Tennessee has always tried to bring in coaches that have some connection to the school. Obviously, Jeremy Pruitt didn't. They haven't lately. I mean, let me back up, because the last couple of coaches have not had any connection. The line you hear in Knoxville is the most successful coaches have had a connection. And they would like to find one, but there aren't many connections. So I think Kevin Steele will get some consideration. He does have a background there. He's well liked. I think you'll hear all kinds of coaches' name, but remember what the chancellor said yesterday is accurate. They are going to hire an athletic director first, and that person probably will have some connection to the school. We're heading to a break. We appreciate you being here. The phone number is 855-242-7285. I mentioned the guest list. We'll go to Knoxville in a few minutes and talk to David Ubben, who covers the Vols for The Athletic.
You're listening to the Paul Finebaum Show podcast.
And welcome back. Michael is up next in North Carolina. We say hello to you, Michael.
Hey, Paul, how you doing today?
We are doing well. Thank you for the call.
Hey, Paul, I'm just going to play devil advocate here with the Jeremy Pruitt firing. I'm not one to be naive. This crap goes on in every major program. It just don't come to light. And it's like Tennessee was fishing to get rid of Pruitt because of his record at Tennessee.
Michael, I think you're 100% correct. I have heard today from people up there who, this is not the answer to the equation, but I've heard people say that what we were accused of doing is the same thing everyone else is doing, if that is true, there are some pretty serious issues out there. And I heard people say yesterday that the chancellor saved the university. I've heard other people contradict that. We don't know yet. But, you know, if they wanted to fire Jeremy Pruitt, they should have fired him and paid him off, as opposed to...
Yes. Yes, and I totally agree. I just think what happened yesterday, you know, it was like a black cloud over college football, because, you know, you hired a man to do a job, and then you renew his contract, you know, with these same terms in his contract, and then you wasn't getting the results on the field, and then they moved so quickly and swift with this investigation just to get him out of there. And I think Pruitt doing the right thing by hiring his attorneys to counter whatever the university is doing. I just think people don't need to be naive.
Yeah, Michael, if you take Jeremy Pruitt is going to get some money out of this. I can almost guarantee that. And And I think the real question that has to be asked, you know what it sounds like to me? I don't know what you think. It sounds like there's a conflict of culture up in Tennessee between the athletic department and the academics. And this is a really bad thing to happen on a college campus. It happens a lot, yes, but it usually ends up crippling the football program.
Yes. And to me right now with Jeremy, it's probably not even the money side is a part to do with it. Now it's your reputation as a head coach. And I understand Jeremy, he might not have been as social, and he might not shake hands and kiss babies when he needed to, sort of like the Tom Harmon thing out in Texas. And certain people, yeah, you know, your program, you got to go out. You got to mingle. You got to talk. You got to build great relationships. And I understand that, but like I said, the way Tennessee.
Well, Michael, I don't know if you heard the news conference yesterday, but I mean, you could just watch it, and the disconnect between Fulmer and the chancellor was stark. You had one person acting like she had just found out that cheating exists in college football. And we have to clean it up and save the world. And then you had the person to her right who had been a head football coach for 18 years and an athletic director for 3. And he was talking about how Jeremy Pruitt had brought in some good players, which is accurate. It was not the right thing to say at that moment. But, you know, nobody was on the same page. And that is a major problem at a university to go out there. I mean, this was not some news conference that was being broadcast only in Knoxville, Tennessee. This was a nationally televised news conference. Obviously, we had something to do with that here. And, you know, they should have thought this one through. Do we have our stories straight? Should Fulmer have even been there is my question. But that's just a question. And let's continue with more phone calls and talk to Scott, who is in Tennessee. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Paul, is anyone, see, the sad part about this, for 20 years, nobody has screamed, the emperor has no clothes. Phil Fulmer first, I'm not going to use the S word, and got Johnny Majors out and got the job. Okay. He lucked out in 98 after barely getting past Syracuse and backed his way into national championship. He wouldn't go to SEC media days 15 years ago because he was being sued and subpoenaed for part of a libel case by an Alabama booster, okay? Then he turns around, the whole Schiano affair, to get himself back in, and they have the audacity to let him sit up there and say he decided that it was time for him to step down. He never intended this to be long-term. He came back to save the University of Tennessee. Any other athletic director would have been thrown under the bus a lot worse than Jeremy Pruitt. Jeremy Pruitt's being made out of the scapegoat. Where was Fulmer for Derek Dooley and everything else? He was doing backdoor peddling to get himself and held him up as the glory savior of Tennessee football since Neyland. He is a disgrace. The emperor has no clothes.
Okay. Andy is up next in Florida. Hey, Andy, you are on the air. How are you?
Hey, I'm good, Paul. Just to give it some context, I've been a longtime Tennessee fan. In fact, you and I went to school back in the days when I know you were writing for the Daily Beacon and trying to get some good stories out of Ray Mears about the Bernie and Ernie show back then.
But, yes, sir.
But, you know, I share that because I think, like you, you remember those days when we had A.D. Woodruff and, of course, Doug Dickey after that, and we went through coaches and we brought in a new basketball coach named Pat Head.
Right.
And we had some great years going through there, but we knew that the athletic department was lockstep with the administration because certainly during the time of Andy Holt and President Bowling, you know, everything worked very well. And for some reason, Tennessee has just lost that. And I think it's quite evident, you know, how we got to yesterday, because you look back, you know, the firing of Butch Jones, and then, you know, Curry getting dismissed and then trying to find someone to come in and save the day. And we bring in Philip Fulmer, who's never been an AD before. And then he brings in Jeremy Pruitt, who's never been a head coach before. And then really, you know, the administration of Tennessee overturned right after that also. The president left. We had an interim president. And then the chancellor left also after that debacle. But, you know, there's just no oversight there. And I really have a hard time going forward, you know, with this administration, because I think everyone's losing a lot of confidence with Tennessee. And to me, as much as we may want to blame Coach Pruitt or even anyone else right now and the coaches under him, I really put the blame back on Fulmer and then back on the administration there, because I think they've really lost their way. And I think until you fix that, this thing just has no future right now.
Thank you for the call, and appreciate it, Andy. You know, I don't want to sound like a broken record on Philip Fulmer, but you know, for all the criticism that he received for hiring Jeremy Pruitt, I think you do have to remember the circumstances. And I didn't think Greg Schiano was a great choice, but he had been hired, and then a bunch of people rose up. Tennessee people didn't want him because of something that they thought he had done, which he had nothing to do with. But you know, that was really the beginning of the end. And you know, Fulmer gets in there after the former AD is fired, and after seven people turn the job down, he starts over. So you know, I think you know, Fulmer is guilty of whatever he is guilty of. I think his biggest fault is that he was trying to support his head coach. And there was such a stigma up there about making changes too soon that everyone was all in on letting this one play out, and it played out to become a disaster. Now, I think Jeremy Pruitt deserves some criticism in that, based on what I said earlier in relation to, you know, his dealings with the university personnel. I think that's really where all this went wrong. But, hey, he'll learn. He didn't listen to people. He knew it all because of his background as a high school coach and an assistant at Florida State and Alabama. And his career has literally fallen off the cliff today, regardless of how this is adjudicated. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll also talk to David Ubben from The Athletic.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on the program. From The Athletic, Tennessee football, Knicks coach. What are the issues? Can the Vols win a national title? David Ubben joining us. David, thank you very much. It's good to have you on. Just what has it been like up in Knoxville these last 24 hours?
Well, I think it's a lot's happened fast. I mean, we're kind of in a holding pattern for about a month, but things were sort of trending toward the conclusion that we saw on Monday, but, you know, that conclusion feels a lot more like a beginning of an interesting chapter in Tennessee athletics. An AD hire, a coach hire, and Jeremy Pruitt, I'm sure, will be coming after some of that buyout money. So it's going to be an interesting few weeks, but, you know, at least things are happening, whereas the last month it felt like, you know, sort of a duck on a pond where everything looks calm on the top, but underneath there's tons of churning, and now things are a little more public now. So an interesting time, to say the least.
David, if you listened to the chancellor yesterday, you thought we were back in the 80s listening to SMU get the death penalty. But in talking to people, and you know a lot more people than I do, some of these allegations leveled against Jeremy Pruitt, while large in number, don't seem to be that serious in totality. Can you square what we heard yesterday to the reality of what you believe to be the situation?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the things you hear are pretty blatant disregard for the NCAA rule book, but in the same breath, the sort of moral outrage at doing things like that is not what it was, you know, back when USC had their deal or Miami had their situation. You know, I think a lot more people are sort of awakened to sort of the silliness of some of the NCAA rules. So people are frustrated, but I think a lot of people are sort of holding in tension the idea that, okay, yes, Tennessee broke those rules, but, you know, I think the idea that if you had a full, you know, colonoscopy of an internal investigation like you had to the breadth and depth that Tennessee had, there you'd probably find similar things at a lot of other SEC campuses. And, you know, that's sort of a tough reality to deal with. And, you know, Tennessee's going to be dealing with the consequences of that, because while that might be true, you know, Tennessee's the one who had that internal investigation and now has to deal with what they found.
Just in terms of where it's all going, specifically with the NCAA, take us through where you think we are and where what is the finish line?
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
2023 sound good to you? I mean, you know, two things on the NCAA. You can never really guess on a timeline because it takes forever. They just opened this investigation in December. And two, they have been so they're not bound by precedent, and it's very hard to get a feel for what they get. So, you know, this sort of Grim Reaper approach of the death penalty, like, that's never going to happen. But is Tennessee probably going to be dealing with bowl bans, recruiting limitations, scholarship limitations? Probably. I don't think you can take any of those things off the table. They can probably self-impose some things in the meantime and hope you get a lesser sentence. And, you know, the idea that if you're transparent, maybe you get a little bit lesser sentence. But it's hard to get a feel for what they do and how long it's going to take them to do it. But, you know, this is going to be probably part of Tennessee's life for the next I'd be shocked if we're talking a year from now and this thing is done in their rearview mirror and not sort of still hanging over Tennessee's head.
David, which brings us to the immediate present. First decision the school has to make, athletic director and then football coach. Where are we right now?
In the early stages of an athletic director search. You know, I think it's important for them, less important on the football coach, but important for them to get someone who understands the challenges and assets of this job in Tennessee and understands how to run an athletic department. I think you need somebody who has overseen a full department, but pretty early on. You know, I think ultimately I'll be a little bit surprised if Tennessee gets beyond John Gilbert or Mark Ingram in that list of names, but, you know, we'll see. You can never really tell. They're using Parker Executive, a search firm that they've used in the past, a pretty popular search firm. So I think we'll probably see that get wrapped up relatively quickly, and then a coaching search, which, as anyone around Tennessee can attest, who knows how that will go. I wouldn't be surprised if the Parker executive search firm sticks around for that. But for now, it seems like the focus is on the AD, even though I'm sure fans are a little bit more antsy to hear who the next coach will be.
Yeah, the AD job doesn't really excite people, but the head coach does.
No.
So let's move there quickly. We know Kevin Steele is sitting there, and the old guard seems to want him, but I'm not sure where the old guard fits into the present. What are you hearing on the coaching situation?
Well, I think it's still really early. I think ultimately you look at the landscape. Certainly, you know, the knowledge that the NCAA is officially involved, and this stuff is serious, and these things are not going to be a slap on the wrist, de-incentivizes some coaches to take the job. So you look around and you say, okay, Kevin Steele, if you offered him that job, he's going to take it. If you offered to Jamie Chadwell, he's going to take it. You offered to Hugh Freeze, he's going to take it. Every other option, you may have to convince him. You may have to tell him, hey, we're going to give you a really incentive-like deal, a lengthy deal to bring guys in. And, this can go a number of different directions. I mean, again, not unlike the outcome of an NCAA investigation, I think anyone who paid any level of attention to 2017 can never guess how a Tennessee coaching search is going to go, and we're not even quite to that yet. So, you know, I think you'd have, handicapping this race, you'd have to lean toward the guys who you know are probably going to take that job. But there's plenty of interesting names out there, too. I mean, Bill O'Brien, I think, is a really interesting option. I think, you know, Gus Malzahn is really complicated. for a lot of reasons, mostly centered around Kevin Steele. But I think, you know, he has something that no Tennessee coach has been hired since Phil Fulmer was let go in 2008. He's coached at a Power 5 place. He knows. He's not going to be learning on the job. He's not going to be figuring out what it's like to operate inside a fishbowl. He knows. And that's something that Lane Kiffin hadn't experienced. Derek Dooley hadn't experienced. Butch Jones hadn't experienced. Same with Jeremy Pruitt. And I think that could be a huge asset for Tennessee right now to be a program that is led by a guy that kind of knows what that's like and isn't trying to figure it out on the go, but is instead trying to take what he did somewhere else that was a very similar job and implement it at Tennessee.
David, what kind of job is this?
Well, I mean, it's harder than it used to be. That's just true. I don't know. You know, you sort of hear all – these are the time of year you hear all these sort of grand declarations of, well, Tennessee will never be great again and all these things. You know, is that the truth, or is the truth if you hire the right guy, Tennessee's going to be back in the playoff in no time? It's probably somewhere in the middle. You know, Tennessee, the reality is if you want to field a great football team, you can't just do it in the state of Tennessee. You've got to go beat guys for kids in Atlanta, the Georgia area, Florida, South Carolina, North Carolina. And that's harder now because when Tennessee was rolling, Georgia was not rolling. Alabama was not rolling. Clemson was not a national power. And so you're trying to say, and it's the same thing that Jeremy Pruitt had to tackle in the last 3 years, you're trying to say, okay, come to Tennessee. Don't go to Florida. Don't go to Georgia. You got to have something to sell. And for a year, Tennessee kind of did. It was don't be another guy that just helps them do that. Come revive Tennessee and be a legend. Because if you get it off the ground, you're going to be that guy that sets that foundation. And then, obviously, Jeremy Pruitt kind of ran out of things to sell when you're in the middle of a 3-7 season. So, even at 1-4 in the middle of 2019, it was getting rough there. They got on a hot little streak there late. But, you know, that's kind of what Tennessee has to figure out. And if you got to turn it a little quick, because if you don't, you get stuck in the spiral that sort of eventually was what cost Jeremy Pruitt his job.
And finally, the perception, David, whether it's your publication or any other one up and down the food aisle, this school perceptively has become a laughing stock. How do you overcome that?
You win. That's the only thing. I mean, you know, the jokes are probably well earned. There's been some insane sagas in the last decade, things you just don't see everywhere. You know, from the Lane Kiffin riots, 10 years ago, to the 2017 search, to now you're investigating your own program. And, you know, whether you intended to or not, you're getting out of a buyout and you're stepping into an NCAA investigation that is pretty, uncertain waters. So, yeah, I think all the punchlines are probably well-earned at this point. But the only way to stop them is to win. And winning is complicated, but it's just that it's just that simple because – if you're getting your brains beat in by Alabama and Georgia, you're not going to be much more than a punchline. But if you're contending with those teams, you're beating Florida once in a while, you're showing up and playing meaningful games in November with the SEC East on the line, you're not a joke anymore. And until you are playing those games and winning those games, it's tough to outrun the punchlines, and that's just what it is.
David Ubben covers the Vols for The Athletic. I don't know what they're paying you, David, but they ought to increase it for this assignment.
You're not going to get any arguments from me on that front.
Hey, thank you. Always good to have you on.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
David Ubben, what a beat right now, the Tennessee Vols. We will take a break. We're not done with that subject. We'll come back to it a little bit later with Pat Forty, one of those who has described the school's football program as a laughing stock. He'll join us in about an hour. We'll talk about the NIL situation and Dawn Staley in the final hour. About a number of things, including the statue that went up yesterday. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we welcome you back here on this Tuesday afternoon. And much happening. And let's check in with Mike, who is in Kentucky. Hey, Mike, good afternoon.
You ding man, Paul?
Yeah, Mike, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Paul. Thank you. Well, the subject of Tennessee has been hog fried and deep fried and hog tied, but I think I can add a little something to it. I think you hit the nail on the head a couple of weeks back, Paul, when you neither confirmed nor denied the possible existence of a cabal in Knoxville of deep-pocketed, low football IQ individuals that were instrumental in pulling what I could only describe as a coup on the athletic department of University of Tennessee. They had a perfectly competent athletic director who was out on the West Coast trying to procure a coach with a vision of the future of college football, Paul. We all know this is the age of you ain't going to stop them, so you better outscore them. He was in the process of getting that accomplished when the rug got jerked out from under his feet. And enter West Tennessee hog farmer, a.k.a. Fatback Philip Fulmer. You know, this is not his fault. It's not Jeremy Pruitt's fault. Jeremy Pruitt is just a byproduct of Philip Fulmer's high cholesterol ego, Paul. He had to go steal a crumb off the king's table. And I think we all pretty much know who the king of college football is right now. And in so doing, he literally destroyed the program. He goes out and hires a coach with a history of doesn't play well with others. And the real people, in my opinion, Paul, that are responsible for this are not Philip Fulmer, not Jeremy Pruitt, the boosters that orchestrated the whole thing. A bunch of 11- and 12-year-olds in a high school dugout could have come up with a better plan than that.
Thank you, Mike. Not a lot of fault found in your analysis.
You.
Mike is up next in Los Angeles. Hello, Mike.
Hello, Paul. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you.
I wanted to ask, what role did Jimmy Sexton play? I have a couple questions. Do you think Jimmy Sexton had in convincing Phil Fulmer in the athletic department to give Jeremy that extension at the beginning of the season?
I would say Jimmy Sexton has his fingerprints on this entire program. Not only is he a Tennessee guy, he represents everybody involved.
Yeah, no, Sarkisian, Saban. I know Lane, he's the coach whisperer, but I was just wondering if it was Fulmer's idea on the extension or if Sexton kind of got in his ear and said, no recruiting in that. So that's one thing.
Well, Mike, you have to go back. You have to go back. When this decision was made, Jeremy Pruitt was doing well. He was on a winning streak, and he looked like he had turned the corner. So you always go to someone and say, listen, recruiting is critical. We have to get another significant recruiting class. And I think that's what happened. And, you know, it came out later after he was already losing, but the decision was made before the season.
I'll give you a couple of answers where kind of people have Tom Herman. He got hot there at the end. He beat an unmotivated Georgia team. And the Texas boosters, they go ahead and give him the extension. And a year later, you know, Sark's got his job. And I think you can look at Jared Goff, you can look at Carson Wentz. Very rarely, unless you have a Nick Saban or a sure thing, you can give that extension. I think.
Look at what happened with Will Muschamp. He got one too. The athletic directors are not businessmen. They are cheerleaders, and they're always trying to support their guys, and that's how we get into these situations. And you know, they're subject to the whims of Twitter that day, and that's why so many bad decisions are made.
Well, let me ask you about the Palace intrigue, and Mike Dutch was talking about the boosters, and certainly the Haslam family didn't hire Phil Fulmer as the AD. And when Phil left, it was the Haslam family. Do you think, based on what you know, that the Haslam family and their pocketbook will kind of open back up and take center stage?
I'm not sure. I will say this about the Haslam family. For all the criticism they get, they have been tremendous friends of that university. And I think they have a voice like a lot of other people. But I think they are wrongly faulted for being behind the Game of Thrones, but that's just an opinion. I don't know them well, but I do know them, and I do know they care a lot about that university, which puts them ahead of some other people who are occasionally involved in the process. We'll take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We'll talk about the NIL situation coming up. Also, Pat Forty as well.